fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been going through the first few verses at the beginning of the second letter of St. Peter, inspired by the reading the church gave us at the beginning of the week from Mass on Monday morning. And it's just so full of gold. It's so precious, and there's treasure in it for each and every one of us, and life-changing truth, truth that if we lay hold of it, if we hunger and thirst for it, and we take it in and allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and renew our hearts, giving us really St. Peter's prophetic understanding of reality, who we are, who God is, what God has done for us, what really matters in this life, all of that. If we internalize this, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. I know every one of you tuned into the program, you, like me, were in a battle. You know you're in a spiritual battle in this world, and you know how ferocious it can be, and the enemy's designs for us, and how he can beat on us and lead us to great discouragement. And somehow these promises of God escape us. And instead of being our mind, our heart, our imagination, and the kind of the core of our being, instead of just residing in trust, able to have, as St. Peter said at the beginning of this letter, that he prayed that we would have grace and peace, that the peace of God would be multiplied in us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and God the Father and what they for us and who they are in us. We long for that peace, but so many of us, we barely ever touch it. It's not a reality for us. And friends, the reason I'm laboring over these verses this week is because I want you to hear the promises of God, because what's going to bring you peace is the truth that's at the heart of these promises, and the realization and conviction through the help of the Holy Spirit that these promises are for you. This world will beat us down, like my friend Daniel Bramwitz will often say, the enemy in this world beats you down like a rented donkey, day after day after day, to the point where you feel like, is my life of any value? Am I ever going to succeed? Am I ever going to be happy? Am I ever going to be satisfied? We're preoccupied. We're constantly fighting against thoughts within us, unbelief, fear, anxiety, isolation, self-condemnation, all these kinds of things that the enemy wants us to be preoccupied with so that we don't stop and don't give ourselves enough time to meditate on these promises. And where we ended the program yesterday, I've really been talking about four verses, really two verses when it comes right down to it, this entire week so far. It's verse 3 in that first chapter of 2 Peter. He said, by his divine power he has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus Christ's power has granted us everything that pertains to sharing in his life and sharing in his relationship with the Father and a communion with the Father and the Son. He says, through the knowledge of him who called us, the knowledge of him, that's how we lay hold of this, because we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. We come to know him personally through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through the power of his word, through the ministries of the sacraments of the church. There's power that we receive that is possible for us, enables us to come to know Jesus personally. And he said, when we know him, we have knowledge of him, we come to understand that he's called us to his own glory and excellence. And what Jesus Christ calls us to is going to come to being. He's called us. He's the Lord of all. All power and authority belongs to him. And his yes is yes and his no is no. He's not fickle. He's determined. He's called you. He's come to save you. He's going to bring you home to share in his glory and his excellence. He says this glory and excellence by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. That through these you escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion. Now, this is kind of where I ended off yesterday. If you didn't have a chance this week to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived right there on the computer. On our website, you could listen to them there, download them and put them on your iPad, iPod, or whatever. Listen to them whatever way you know how to listen. There's so many ways now that you can listen to these programs. I'd encourage you to go and listen to the programs this week. It's really been focused on the promises of God for you and overcoming the obstacles that stand in the way of you being able to receive and internalize those promises. At every stage of life, it seems, the enemy has a particular plan to discourage us. You know, whether it's raising our kids and they're young and, you know, we're going through the challenges and struggles and of being a parent and the marriage being under stress at times because of all the challenges. It's all part of God's wonderful plan. And if we walk through it in his mercy and his love and know that he's with us, it's a burden that we're able to carry. But if not, and if we come under the condemnation of the enemy, you know, I'm not a very good mother. I'm not a very good wife. I'm not a very good husband. I'm not a very good father. This is too difficult. You know, I don't know if I can do this, whatever it is. So the enemy, every stage of life, you know, midlife, well, I didn't accomplish enough with my life. I'm not as happy as I thought I was going to be, so I got to go recreate a new life for myself. You know, the enemy wants us to run away from our commitments and to feel like our life is meant nothing and that it's a failure, but we still have time to change it. Let's just change everything and run off and do something else. That temptation is very strong in our old age, you know, when we get to become the last stage of our life and we battle sickness or disease or just aging and we feel like, is my life worth anything? Can I make any contributions to it? So every stage of life, there's this constant battle with seeing ourselves in the light of this world and our fallen nature, as opposed to seeing ourselves in Christ and keeping our eyes fixed on the glory that is promised to us and being able to really lay hold of the moments in this life. We get a glimpse of the glory and majesty of Jesus. And as we walk with him and our lives begin to change internally, the answer is living in these promises, friends. And then he'll tell us how the Holy Spirit wants to work in us here in just a minute. He says, okay, we escape this corruption that's in the world and we become partakers of the divine nature. Jesus has come to give us power to break the hold that this world has on our minds, our hearts, to subdue our passions. Like Paul said to us in Romans chapter 8, he said that if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does he mean? He's talking in that passage about passing from death to life, and that literally disobeying God, not living in the Lord, saying yes to the flesh means death. Saying yes to the passions that Peter's talking about here, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, being dominated by jealousy, envy, you know, lust, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, all these things. If we live in those, we will die. If we say yes to those passions in us, I'm not forgiving that person, forget it. Or we gossip about somebody and we do it all the time because we want to bring the people down or whatever it is that we're battling with in terms of passion, unwilling to go God's way. If we do that, Paul says we will die. But how do we make a break from those things? By the power of the Spirit that's given to us. The power that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, friend. But a lot of us don't know that. And we actually live like slaves. And we just keep repeating the things over and over again. And so Paul tells us, put to death those things through the power of the Spirit. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me put to death these passions in me. Go to confession, receive grace in confession, receive grace in the Eucharist. Pray every day. Read the scripture. You know, do what the Lord calls us to do, and he will steadily, slowly subdue those things and lead you into greater and greater freedom and allow you then to see with hope in your heart and mind that he's called you to become partaker of the divine nature. It doesn't mean he's going to make you God. It means he's going to allow us to share in what belongs to him, and that is his divine life. Wow. Friends, there's glory that awaits you at the end of all this. This really is going to be gone in a very short time. Life is short. It's a passing shadow. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. Stay focused on what matters most. Keep your eye on the ball. Keeping your eye on the ball is keeping your eye on Christ and what he's called you to and the hope that is set before you. He wants to give you confidence in it. So he's saying, this is what he wants to give us. So then in verse 5, he says, for this reason then, because of all this, he's given us all this grace and power, and he's got a future for us that is sure. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Okay? Every effort to supplement your faith. That is believing in all these promises, believing in what Christ done to us, saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, and then entrusting your life to him. Faith is a radical abandonment in trust of our lives, becoming nomads of faith, nomads of trust that is following Jesus no matter what happens in this world. We surrender to him. That's the way to life. That's the way we express love for him. We have this opportunity, friends, in this short time on earth to be able to offer ourselves to God, to be everything he made us to be. And so don't be sidetracked. Surrender your heart to him and say, how do we do that? Peter says, supplement this trust and surrender with virtue. That is what? That's the habits of yielding ourselves to God's will, right? And he, in detail, this is what he means. Virtue then, really the utmost that God has called us to. He said, supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue, these habits toward the good, habits toward doing what God desires us to do that the Holy Spirit develops in us and helps us with as we say yes to him. Virtue with knowledge, that is what? Knowledge of God, knowledge of his plan for us, knowledge of who we are. And then supplement the knowledge with self-control. These are things we want to work on because we know the Lord's calling us to it. Knowledge of God's plan and purpose for us, knowledge of how he wants us to live out our vocations in this world, how he wants to understand our place in this world. And so then supplement that knowledge with self-control. The world wants to sell us, friends, the idea that the only way to be happy, the only way to live in this world is just be out of control. Other than like for your goals, your financial goals or this or that. But when you have time, just party on. Just do whatever you want to do. Let your desires go. You deserve it. You worked hard, all that kind of stuff. That's the mind of this world, and it's fallen. So we need self-control. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and subdue the passions in us that control us. And the knowledge of God helps us understand how we're meant to direct our lives and our passions. And then supplement the self-control with steadfastness, hanging in there, staying focused, staying on course when you feel like quitting, when you feel like letting go. And then supplement the steadfastness with godliness. So you talked about that earlier, which is devotion to God, union with God, likeness to God. Jesus is so delighted to bring each one of us into his relationship with God the Father. He wants you to know God the Father. He wants you to know God's love. He's made it possible for you through his passion, death, and resurrection, the shedding of his blood, to enter the courts of the Father, to enter his holy place. He said, then supplement this godliness with brotherly affection. Love one another earnestly from the heart. Scripture exhorts us. It was Paul, maybe Peter said that, but clearly it's from the New Testament. Love one another earnestly from the heart. And then supplement that brotherly affection. That is, brotherly affection is for the brothers and sisters in the community, Christian brothers and sisters that you're living with on a consistent basis. We're called to love everyone. There's a particular affection and that comes and that we're, a duty we have to love those brothers and sisters who God has brought us together with in our parishes and our neighborhoods and the rest. And then supplement this brotherly affection with love, right? The willing the good of another. Love is patient, love is kind, that whole 1 Corinthians 13. So it begins this whole section of how then we're supposed to live, given that we've received these promises. It begins with faith, and it ends with love. Right? Our whole Christian life begins with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We surrender to God's coming to us and offering us everything. And where does he want to lead us? He wants to lead us to become like his son, like God himself, and God is love. He wants to form that character in us. It can seem like, wow, that's a high task, this virtue and knowledge and self-control and being steadfast and living a godly life and being filled with brotherly affection. But remember, you've been given the power of Jesus Christ risen to be able to live a new way of life. Friends, receive it, internalize it. It's for you. It's the path that Christ has set out for you. Join us again tomorrow. We'll finish this next section. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.